honey. Who keeps shrinking the economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us for the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we kick off the trading day. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P and NASDAQ both up about 0.5%. Same for the Dow as well. Dow trading about 9208. In Asia, shares were mostly higher today. European markets are mixed right now. The Commerce Department says the nation's economy shrank last quarter by 1%. That's better than analysts had thought. We're going to talk with Bill Stone right now, chief investment strategist over at PNC Wealth Management. He's joining us live from Philly this morning. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
So let's go a little deeper in the numbers here. If GDP is better than expected, does that mean the recession's abating?
You know what? I actually think it is. I think are officially going to announce that the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009 will come to an end in the third quarter.
In the third quarter. All right. And what is it? Is there a concern behind these numbers right now? Because, I mean, I know they revised the first quarter numbers to what, 6.5%, right?
Yeah, it was about 6.4. Exactly. I think a couple of things is, one is we just went through a worse recession than we thought we did, I guess, or at least worse than the numbers originally said. I think most of us knew it was pretty darn bad. But the underlying worry is that consumer spending within the numbers was worse than anyone expected. So even though the kind of headline number was better than expected, consumers didn't spend as much as we expected. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is the government spent more money than we expected.
Right.
So
that's
really what drove the better number.
I want to talk a little bit about consumer spending, and we have Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman on the line as well. He's been reporting on this cash for clunkers and how it could possibly be out of money already. This is the program, Mitchell, that gives people up to $4,500 for their gas guzzlers to get them more fuel-efficient cars. It's a billion-dollar program. Is the money really gone?
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out today, Steve. The money isn't gone yet, but it does look like the first billion that Congress appropriated is spoken for, and that's based on how many old cars have already been traded in for the $3,500 or $4,500 rebate. Keep in mind, the money was supposed to last until November. The White House says, don't worry, if you already signed one of these deals, you will get your rebate and your car. But dealers are concerned that the money's already run out, and they're expecting these huge crowds this weekend looking to cash in on cash for clunkers.
Yeah, it's a big time for car buying. Bill Stone and Mitchell, stay on the line for just a second. Bill, is it smart for the government to pour more money into cash for clunkers? I mean, I think they're even looking at tapping TARP for this, right?
Yeah, and I tell you, I think it's a tough call. You know, on one side is we know how bad the auto sales have been. On the other side, I think they probably are set to recover in some respect as the economy recovers anyway. So it's hard to balance those costs with the benefits.
Mitchell, say the program does manage to go on. Is it really going to be enough to make a difference for dealers?
Well, you know, dealer sales are off like a third this year. There are several million vehicles down.
Yeah.
You know, this may add as many as 100,000 more sales. These are people who wouldn't have bought a new car this year, but the rebate is the incentive they need to plunge in. It is a drop in the bucket, but, you know, they're going to say every bit helps.
All right. Mitchell Hartman, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bill Stone from PNC Wealth Management. Bill, thanks to you as well.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great weekend. We just got word this morning that the U.S. government and Swiss bank UBS have reached an agreement in their tax evasion dispute. The main issue involves 52,000 Americans the U.S. thinks is hiding billions in UBS accounts. Now, UBS and Swiss officials say they can't release the names without violating their secrecy laws. And for now, the details of the agreement worked out today remain a secret. NYPD Blue is bumping into a green problem. The New York Police Department has about five dozen hybrid cars. They're Nissan Altimas, and they get pretty good gas mileage, but they're causing a little pain in the Big Apple as well. Apparently, the edges of the seats curl. So when officers get out of their squad cars, their gun handles end up poking them in the hip. Police officials say the Altimas will get retrofitted with flatter seats and a lower center console at a cost of about $1,100 a pop. You're listening listening to The Morning Report for Friday, July 31st, 2009, at marketplace.org. Europe's biggest bank, HSBC, reports its half-year figures on Monday, and analysts are expecting buckets of red ink, largely thanks to HSBC's business in the United States. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
Analysts are forecasting a net loss of $600 million for HSBC in the first half. Compare that with a profit of almost $8 billion for the same period last year. The bank hit big problems in the U.S. with things like car loans and credit cards. Michael Prest of Breaking Views says that's because of a disastrous acquisition the bank made at the height of the American lending boom.
They bought an outfit called Household International, which was a very large lender to poor households and to people who were generally one way or another bad credit in the U.S. And those chickens have come home to roost with an absolute vengeance.
Since it bought Household, the bank has set aside more than $50 billion, most of it to cover bad U.S. consumer loans. But, says Prest, other parts of the HSBC empire are doing well, especially in the Far East. The bank is likely to become the first foreign bank listed in China. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Remember credit default swaps, those insurance contracts on securities that helped bring down insurance giant AIG? Well, since the financial crisis, nothing's been done to regulate the unregulated instruments called derivatives. And now Democrats are working on a bill that sets rules for those swaps. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The bill would force most derivatives onto exchanges where they could be monitored by the government. It could also ban investors from trading credit default swaps when they don't own the underlying debt. Why do we need these rules? Just ask Tamar Frankel, securities law professor at Boston University.
I can promise to pay you $100, but in my pocket I have 2 cents. If you accept it and you know that I have 2 cents and you still want to do it, that's fine. But if somebody trades in it, then I have a problem because it's hard to find out whether I have 2 cents and besides I've gone away.
Frankel says forcing traders to keep more money in their pockets would make the whole system safer. But Bob Pickle of the International Swaps and Derivatives Association doesn't agree.
I think we would be concerned about, you know, widening that differential to such an extent where companies are not able to effectively manage the risk that they have in their business.
All this sets up a debate Congress will have when it returns to Washington in September. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
President Obama wanted a health care reform bill on his desk before Congress took its summer break. Well, it's recess time, but there's still no bill. What will the 5-week timeout on Capitol Hill mean for health care reform? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
President Obama managed to bring on board a lot of drug makers and hospitals, but it was members of his own party that took health care reform off the fast track. Fiscally conservative House Democrats, the so-called Blue Dogs, persuaded the Obama administration to postpone a vote until September.
They've decided to go back and take the pulse of the electorate before they come back and take what, for many, will be a quite difficult vote.
That's Henry Aaron with the Brookings Institution. In the coming weeks, critics will argue the reforms under consideration are too expensive and pave the way for socialized medicine. The Obama administration will counter in ads and town hall meetings that it's far more costly to do nothing. Aaron says the debate could swing either way.
One day it looks like the administration is in terrible trouble. The next day it sounds like a deal is on the verge of being struck. The jury is out as to which side is going to prevail in this fight.
Come September, the Blue Dogs will have their day, at least in terms of being a critical swing vote. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Think of summer holidays, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. And in Massachusetts, for the past 5 years, there's been one in August, too, a sales tax holiday. But not this year, much to the disappointment of retailers and consumers. And to add insult to injury, the sales tax in Massachusetts is going up by 25% tomorrow. From WBUR in Boston, Abigail Beshkin reports.
We'll make sure it fits.
At Circle Furniture in Cambridge, owner Richard Tubman looks over his Vermont-crafted wood tables and Norway-made chairs. He says he relied on the sales tax holiday in past years to boost his balance sheets in the dog days of summer.
We would do approximately a month's worth of business in a day. We could put a full-page ad in every newspaper in the country and say 5% off, and I just don't think people would get that excited. But the sales tax holiday got people very, very excited for the last few years.
But this year, there will be no sales tax vacation. And as of tomorrow, shoppers will see sales taxes in the state jump from 5% to 6.25%. That could mean more lost sales, says John Hurst with the Retailers Association of Massachusetts, especially since neighboring New Hampshire has no sales tax.
There is no consumer more than really an hour's drive to New Hampshire. Plus, really, we also have the most tech-savvy consumer in the entire nation here in Massachusetts. And, you know, most purchases online are tax-free.
But Massachusetts is facing a $2 billion budget deficit, so community groups lobbied hard for the sales tax increase, hoping to keep state budget cuts to a minimum. Harris Grumman organized the successful lobbying effort and says he's happy to pay a bit extra in taxes.
I'm proud of the public schools my kids go to. I'm proud of the roads I drive on, the subway I use to get to work, the libraries in our town. I believe in all of that. That's what makes our life good.
Many store owners and customers say what would really make life good would be a sales tax holiday. The Massachusetts Senate just voted down a last-ditch proposal to hold a tax holiday this weekend. But John Hurst of the Retailers Association says he'll keep pushing lawmakers, reminding them they need to persuade people to spend their money and spend it in Massachusetts. In Boston, I'm Abigail Beshkin for Marketplace.
So the United States is a big country, right? And increasingly, so are its citizens. A new study released this week by the CDC and other agencies says more than a quarter of Americans are obese. It's an estimated $150 billion problem for the healthcare system. But some businesses see it as a big opportunity. From Long Beach, California, Rico Galliano reports.
It's a typical Friday night at a Long Beach nightclub. DJs spin sexy R&B, guys try to be cool, and lots of the ladies are dressed to expose maximum flesh. But at this club, there's a little more flesh than usual.
Guys like bigger girls here, and they think we're hot, and it's nice.
That's Darcy, a regular here at Club Bounce. It's the brainchild of promoter Lisa Marie Garbo.
Club Bounce is a nightclub for plus-size people and those who desire us.
Plus size. That's how Garbo describes herself and the overweight clientele who flock to this, the only weekly club night of its kind in the area. She says she gets around 1,000 folks a weekend at $15 a pop, and she says that's just the tip of the iceberg.
There is a great market for plus size people in clothing, clubs, all kinds of areas. You can have a business for plus size people and make a great living.
Surprisingly, though, very few businesses are tapping that market. Marshall Cohen is chief retail analyst with the NPD Group.
We're talking about almost 30% of the population. But when you look at the fashion business, which is really one of the few areas where you can quantify it, it represents less than 18% of the total apparel business. This is a very underserved market.
Why? Marshall says obesity carries a daunting social stigma, so retailers tend to devote very little store space to the overweight crowd. And when a recession hits, like say the one we're in now, the plus size department is the first to go.
You know, much like somebody who's on a diet, it roller coasters. It goes up and it goes down. The retailer goes in the business, out of the business.
But there are signs businesses are more willing to stay in. Torrid, a new offshoot of punky fashion chain Hot Topic, peddles trendy clothing exclusively to overweight teens and young adults. Target followed suit in April with its own line of oversized styles for juniors. Meanwhile, promoter Lisa Marie Garbo just launched a second Club Bounce in Phoenix. And she's not stopping there.
I personally would love to go to Texas for my third club because Texas is known for bigger is better.
In Long Beach, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.